In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In the beginning, God gave man a choice. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And thus things did not remain in that state of goodness. Adam and Eve both ate of the fruit of the forbidden tree, and death began to reign. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death. God had a plan in creation, and he already had a plan in place before the fall of man, to rescue man from their fallen state. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Who was this seed? Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, "And to seeds as of many," but as of one, "And to thy seed, which is Christ." And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Oh.
the seed of a woman. What does this mean? As Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Lo, the seed of a woman. But how could this be? How does a virgin bring forth a child? And in the sixth month, an angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. For with God nothing shall be impossible. This is God's Son, the seed of a woman.
Are ringing, angels singing, no bells ringing.
When would this happen? According to Daniel chapter 9, verses 25 and 26. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. To the Jews this was a mystery, but the wise men from the east understood these times. God had a plan for the perfect time to send his son to earth. From Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, we understand it was in the fullness of time. God also had a plan for the place where his son would be born as a man. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth, unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting, as Micah prophesied. Yes, since the beginning, God had planned when and where he would send the Savior to the earth.
To reveal his love.
Not only did God reveal the promise of a coming Messiah to the prophets of old, and not only did he reveal to Mary and Joseph that the time was near, but he also chose to send his messengers, the angels, to a group of shepherds to let them know that the Savior was born. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Why did he come? John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What greater love could there be than to choose to send to earth your only begotten Son, to live among sin and sinners, and to lay down his life for them? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Yet we in our sin were not his friends. And God hates sin. He cannot stand to see sin, yet he chose to live among sin and die for us. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The result was a most precious gift, But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This gift costs Jesus his life, but it doesn't cost us a thing. It is all free to us. Romans 5 says, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. What a great Savior. This is why he came.
Thus was he born.
As believers, to go and tell others. Who are you going to tell? Has God laid someone on your heart recently who needs to hear the good news? But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. God has promised to return. Surely that time is drawing near. We don't know when, but we do know his return is imminent. Those who don't receive Christ as Savior face eternal consequences. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, and that is for all eternity. Jesus came to earth to save them because he loved them. Do you love Jesus? Then love them whom Jesus loves by letting them know of Jesus' love for them before it is too late.
Would you please turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. One of the most misunderstood statements in the Christmas story is peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Actually, the angel's announcement to the shepherds was not peace on earth. Look at the verse with me, please. Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and what's the word order? On earth, peace. There is a difference between peace on earth and on earth, peace. The world supposes that peace between men is what Jesus brought. A sort of non-violent tolerance of one another. And so the world, if they ever refer to Jesus in a positive way, talk about how he loved everybody. But let's really look at the verse and what it says. There are two places it refers to. On the one hand, it says that in the highest, there is God. And as God is in the highest, we ascribe glory to him. And then it says, on earth, there is peace. This peace is not the kind of tranquility that might exist between one person and another, but this peace is an inner peace of the soul and of the heart that results from resting in salvation. And notice that this peace, along with goodwill, is directed toward men. It doesn't say that there is peace on earth between men. It says that on earth, peace is directed toward men. So while God the Father is in the highest, the Prince of Peace is on the earth, offering men not peace with each other, but a personal inner peace as they look to him for salvation. And Jesus Christ is able to offer this to each individual because he is the Prince of Peace. Jesus actually did not come to bring peace on earth, and he said so. Would you go over to Luke chapter 12 and verse 51? Luke chapter 12 and verse 51. Jesus says, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you, nay. Ooh. He said, I didn't come to bring peace on earth. That's different, isn't it, than what it says in Luke chapter 2, on earth peace. He says, peace on earth? No. Actually, he says, I'm going to divide people. He says, but rather division. Verse 52, for from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son and the son against the father. The mother against the daughter and the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. How can this be? It will be because some will believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior and have peace in their hearts, and others will not. The world pretends to have peace. Would you go all the way back to Jeremiah chapter 23? Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 16. The world's always talking about world peace. Everybody wants world peace. Men have been striving for world peace for generations and millennia. And some pretend that we have it, like this in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not, do not listen unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said. They claim that God told them to say this when God didn't tell them to say this. And this is what they claim the Lord told them to say. Ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon thee. You know, we have a lot of the same thing going on today, only instead of prophets telling us that we shall have peace, it's politicians that are telling us we shall have peace. And they pretend in their own minds and maybe even convince themselves of this, that we can have peace. They are telling us these days that we would be so much better off if we didn't have prisons. Have you heard that? And if we didn't have police. Because if we would just let everybody express themselves, we could all get along together and it'll be fine. They seem to believe that every person is basically a good soul. And with the right chance in life, everyone will do the right thing. They believe that prisons perpetuate evil rather than stopping it. So if we're just nice to everybody, we can all just live in peace with one another. But if there is no peace in men's hearts, there will never be peace between men. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 22, God said, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. You know that thing in real estate, location, location, location. Well, it happens to have a spiritual application. Would you go to John chapter 16 and verse 33? John chapter 16 and verse 33. And Jesus said this, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. No peace in the world, but there is peace in Christ. And so he says in John chapter 14 and verse 27, John chapter 14 and verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. What is this peace that Jesus gives to us? Go over to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. No, God, Jesus Christ did not come to this world to give peace between men as some kind of new social order. He came to bring peace to the hearts of men so that we can have peace between us and God. By the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, the breach in our relationship with God is completely removed. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Reconciled with God. Our relationship is restored with God because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. You know Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's the condition of a heart that has no peace with God. But when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the Prince of Peace gives us peace with God, and everything changes in our heart. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Does that sound like the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? Something has changed here. Notice it says in verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. There's been a change in the heart. Not a change in social order, a change in the individual's heart. Perhaps you'll recall Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, where it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the angels sang to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. They were telling the shepherds that God the Father was in the highest, and deserved to be given glory, and that the Prince of Peace was on the earth, bringing peace to the hearts of men who would believe and trust in him. Even after all these years, there's still no peace on earth. If Jesus' mission was to bring peace on earth, doesn't seem to have worked out too well, but that wasn't his mission. His mission wasn't social order. His mission was you. You as an individual, each one of you as individuals, to bring peace to your heart. So Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. For he is our peace. He is our peace who made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Jew and Gentile both, he came to preach peace to us. Peace that we can have in our hearts, in spite of the lack of peace in all of the world. Each and every one of us individuals can have peace in our hearts. And that peace gives us peace with God, so that we can live and rejoice in him. Do you have peace in your heart? All you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, came to this earth and took on human form. Thus, we observe his birth in Bethlehem. Grew to be a man, and as a man of about 30 years of age, began his ministry. 3 years later, he took on him everything that kept you from having fellowship with God. Took all your sin. Everything that had broken your ability to relate to God, he took it all on himself and carried it to the cross. And with that heavy burden upon him, he shed his blood, and with that blood, he paid a price that you could never pay, but he paid it in full, and declared it to be finished, and died. But it was not possible for the grave to hold him, and he arose from the dead, and in his death and resurrection, he defeated death. He defeated sin, and he rescued us from all of that and gave us the hope of eternal life. And in so doing, when we believe in him and trust that what he did is all that needs to be done, and we just trust in him and receive him as our Savior, all the turmoil that the world can bring to a person's heart will be gone. Because the Prince of Peace will put peace in your heart, and you'll be right with God. Do you have peace in your heart? If not, would you receive Christ as your Savior this day? When we sing our final song, we would invite you to come and speak to someone. We'll see that someone will sit down with you and talk with you and share with you how you can have peace in your heart through the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that the Lord Jesus came and made peace in our hearts available. Lord, if there's anyone here who's not yet been granted that peace because they receive Christ as their Savior, bring them to faith in Christ now, that they too might have peace in their heart and be right with you. Bless these truths to all of our hearts than the many of us that have that peace. Help us to rejoice in that peace and see that peace dwell in our hearts richly as we live for you day by day. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.